Good evening, and welcome to an evening of worship, an ancient rite known as tenebrae, a Latin term for shadows. Tonight, we remember Jesus' last night on earth, the last night that he spent with his disciples, but also knowing a betrayal and an arrest, a trial, and a crucifixion. Tonight, we gather to remember that evening in scripture and in song and in prayer. And we're glad you could join us to this holiest of evenings.
Our pattern tonight is that we'll start with a call to worship, and then we'll go through a series of seven readings. We have different folks from our churches who will be doing those readings. And after each one of the readings, Mitch and I will blow out a candle. And then there will be a hymn that's been pre-recorded by Sean Boer. And the words for a verse of that hymn will show up on your Facebook page. And we invite you to sing that hymn wherever you are and with whomever you are tonight. Or just sit and listen to the music, whichever works the best for you. At the end of the service, we'll just end the service in silence. There won't be a benediction. And we'll let you move then into the rest of Good Friday and Holy Saturday until we gather together again on Easter morning.
Many churches are doing services tonight, and we're told that Facebook is a bit glitchy. So if tonight is filled with technical pain, the very first Good Friday was also a night of great pain as well. So be patient as Jeremy does his technical magic to get us back on track. I invite you to an evening of worship. If you got the bulletin online, you can join with us with the call and response. This night, what gathers us here? If you have ever believed that love inevitably leads to betrayal,
this night says it doesn't.
If you have ever believed that some people can't be redeemed,
this night says they can.
If you have ever believed that forgiveness wears out,
this night says it won't.
If you have ever believed you aren't worth saving,
this night says you are.
If you have ever believed that you don't deserve freedom,
this night says you do.
If you have ever believed that fear, anger, hatred, and despair will always win,
this night says they won't.
This night says love wins. This night, love gathers us here. Our first reading tonight will be read by Mark, and it's Isaiah chapter 53.
For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
The darkness of suffering.
Our second reading is The Darkness of Betrayal, read by Jen from the Gospel of Mark 14.
While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way?" But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you will always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him.
The Darkness of Betrayal.
Our third reading tonight, The Darkness of Desertion, is read by Kathy from Matthew 26.
And Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour?"
And now a poem by Mary Oliver, read by Roger.
"The grass never sleeps, or the roses, nor does the lily have a secret eye that shuts until morning. Jesus said, 'Wait with me.' But the disciples slept. The cricket has such splendid fringe on its feet, and it sings, have you noticed, with its whole body, and heaven knows if it ever sleeps. Jesus said, 'Wait with me.' And maybe the stars did. Maybe the wind wound itself into a silver tree and didn't move. Maybe the lake far away where once he walked as on a blue pavement lay still and waited, wild awake. Oh, the dear bodies slumped and eyes shut that could not keep that vigil. How they must have wept, so utterly human, knowing this too must be a part of the story."
The Darkness of Desertion.
Our fourth reading is The Darkness of Arrest and Denial, read by Carol from Luke chapter 22.
While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you're betraying the Son of Man?" Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's home. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter, remembering the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly.
The Darkness of Arrest and Denial.
The fifth reading is the trial from Matthew 14, read by Eve.
They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed.
The Darkness of the Trial.
Tonight on this Good Friday, we remember all the steps that led up to Jesus' betrayal and arrest and trial and crucifixion and death. Tonight is about the story of how Jesus' physical life was shattered. And the more that I think about that time, the more I realize that it was not just Jesus' life that was shattered that night. It was also the lives of all those who loved him, all those who'd followed him, all those who'd believed in him. Whether they understood him or not, they were clear that he was something special. He was something they had waited their whole lives for. He was God in a way that no one had been God before. And on that first Good Friday, each of them must have been shattered as well. And they were good Jews. They were practicing Jewish folk. And so when Jesus died, they hastened to put him into a tomb and then went home to observe the Sabbath, which went from sundown on Friday until sundown on Saturday, as it does every week. When the women come to the tomb on that Sunday morning, it's because that's the first day that they can come to take care of the body that's been laid there. And so on Holy Saturday, I often think about what it was like for them that whole day after Jesus' death, when they had been shattered from the inside out, everything they had hoped, everything they had dreamed, everything they had pinned their lives on had been destroyed, was dead, was gone, and there was nothing that they could do to make even a little bit of it any better for a whole Sabbath day. All they could do was be in the pain and the discomfort and the unknowing and the brokenness of what had come upon them, I think, so quickly. And to me, it feels as though we're experiencing it in some small way, that ourselves, in the sense that we're doing Good Friday, we're doing almost everything in our lives in ways that we would have thought inconceivable only 4-5 weeks ago. And that for some of us, some of those same shatterings are happening.
Shattered is certainly a word we can use to describe how many of us are feeling right now. The same sense of powerlessness that the disciples felt so long ago, we feel now. It's a feeling that those of us in North America are not used to feeling. But our churches are affected by COVID-19. Our friends are affected, our communities, our world. One parishioner of mine last week lost her mother-in-law to COVID. And she used that exact phrase. We are shattered. And then in an email, she added, "We thought it was our job to keep her safe." And that broke my heart, because I think how responsible I would feel for my own mom. But I gently reminded her, and I want to remind all of us tonight, that our job is not to keep each other safe. We can't do that in a pandemic. We can reduce all the risk factors, but we're never safe. And I think that gives us an incredible perspective on how to approach Good Friday, because faith and safety do not go well together. The faith that Jesus called us to in following him in word, in deed, and most importantly, in love, seldom brings safety. Tonight is about seeing love lived out to its fullest. And love lived out to its fullest is not about protection. It's not about safety. It is simply about love. And that's what this evening is about. God's love enfleshed. God's love killed. And we wait with the women, we wait with the disciples in that terrible in-between place. Perhaps there's something on the other side.
Our sixth reading tonight is The Shadow of the Cross. It's from Mark 15, and it will be read by Peter.
Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. They clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take.
The darkness of the cross. The seventh light is the darkness of death. I'll read from Mark 15. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left.
From noon on, darkness came over the whole world until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. Thank you.